I am so grateful to be here today to speak with one of our upcoming speakers. Our renowned speaker series includes amazing speakers from all over the planet. And our next speaker is Mr. Coop Laxon, who will be with us on Friday, April 26th in the Mile High Sanctuary. And we're so excited to have him with us. And not only will he be with us that night, he's here with us right here, right now. There he is. Welcome.
Thanks for
Glad to have
having me.
you here.
I'm so darn excited about coming to Mile High. I'm
Oh,
so excited to be there with everyone. I mean, you have no idea, really.
well, thank you. We're very excited to have you with us. I'm so grateful that it worked out for you to come here. A number of months ago, I was at lunch with a girlfriend, and she told me about your book, The Magic of Surrender, and something really caught my attention about it. And so I went home, and not only did I buy the book, I bought the audible of the book, and I started listening to it immediately. And the content itself is not only amazing, the stories, the personal stories you tell, that amazing story at the beginning where you talk about how much you learned from your mother about surrender. It was just beautiful and heartwarming. The whole book is amazing about you talking about people you've worked with, your own profound insights. And I feel like I got the benefit of listening to you actually read it to me and your beautiful voice and your energy. You have such energy. And so I'm really was happy when our team agreed with me that Coot is the next person we want to bring here. So I love the concept of surrender. I think the opposite of the book title could be the magic of controlling everything and being all stressed
That's
out.
my
So
next book.
that's your next book. But really, surrender is a very deep and powerful concept. Tell us a little bit about your walk with surrender and how it's benefited you in your life.
Wow. Look, this was not the book I wanted to write, just full disclosure. This was, I tried to write every other book other than this book on surrender. I sat down one day with a whiteboard and thought, okay, what's my next book going to be? And I thought I would be super intelligent and strategic. And what book would my publishers want? What book would the audience want? What book would resonate? What book would be a New York Times bestseller? And I wrote 75 ideas of books I thought would like take things to the next level for me. And none of those felt true. None of those felt aligned. None of those felt lit my soul on fire. I couldn't look you in the eyes authentically and say, this is the book. It just felt like an angle more than anything. And the only word that really resonated for me was the word surrender. And it was at the bottom of the page. And I thought, oh no. This is not the book. And so I had to surrender to the book about surrender. And when I really meditated on it, I saw that this was the book that was seeking to be written, not simply the book I wanted to write. And when I let go of the book I thought I should write, the book I wanted to write, my ego wanted to write, it's like it just unfolded, it just downloaded. And I saw that the book had a soul of its own. And in that letting go and surrender, to surrender everything about my life, just it fell into place. Everything began to make sense. I understood how my parents met, which was a moment of surrender, how I came to America, which was about winning a green card, about surrender. My whole life was really about surrender, and how I saw that everything that happened in my life was really a preparation to write this book. And I saw and felt the alignment that somehow my soul was destined to write this book about surrender and translate it for the new generation. And I forget if I write about this in the book, but I think about how my parents met, and I just want to kind of share a quick story. There's many stories I'll share
Yes,
in Mile
please
High,
do.
April 26th, but just to give people a sense of really how my life began. My father, and this is one of the reasons I'm so excited about coming to Mile High. My father, when he's from Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana, my mother's Japanese. My father, when he was 8 years old in Ghana, this is in the 40s, right? 1940 something, would have these visions of a Japanese guru, a guy called Masaharu Taniguchi, who was the founder of an organization called Seisho no Ei, which you could say was a spiritual kind of new thought movement teacher in Japan, right? A
Yes.
legend at the time.
Very popular, very
Very,
well known.
very, very
Yes.
well known, right? Roy Eugene Davis was one of his
Yes.
disciples, and
Yes.
so I grew up in this new thought tradition, right? And so when my father was age 8, he'd have these visions of Masaru Taniguchi. Didn't know who he was because there was no internet. This man would start teaching him about life and the mysteries and consciousness and the cosmos, but there was no precedent for new thought teaching. So by the time my father was 15, he became a very sort of traditional Orthodox, shall we say, Christian, went into the church traditionally, but he would have these visions, and the man still kept coming to him in his dreams. My father was about 16, 15, 16. He started healing people. He read the Bible and he said, "Well, Jesus said the things that I do, you can do these things and more. Then it must be true." So he started putting his hands on people. Blind people started seeing, deaf people started hearing, people started standing up out of the wheelchairs. The kid is 17, 18 years old. Thousands of people are coming. His mother, my grandmother, says, "You can't be bringing these people to our house. We need to start a church." My father starts a church. From 18 to 36, his church explodes, 300 churches, millions of followers in Ghana, throughout West Africa. And so my father also went to India in the 60s and had a kind of spiritual awakening, and is now getting into the new thought tradition, Ernest Holmes, Charles Fillmore, Yogananda, reading all these people. Now, when my father now is about 38, 39, in that zone, in the 70s, a book falls off the shelf, a clue, synchronicity. He looks at the book and he sees the face of this Japanese guru, Masaru
Oh
Taniguchi.
my
And he's like,
gosh.
"Oh my God, this guy is real. I didn't know that this man is a real human. He's been coming to me, teaching me about consciousness in my dreams." There was no internet, so he writes to this man and he says, "Look, you've been my spiritual father since I was a kid. I didn't know you were real." And he just pours his heart out to this man. This man was so impressed, he sends his son-in-law to Ghana in the mid-70s on a plane to meet my father, to check my father out. They meet, it's a love fest. The son-in-law invites my father to go to Japan on a lecture tour, right? So my
Whoa.
father is now invited on a lecture tour with Masaharu Taniguchi, the guru, going all around Japan to spread, the positive message about miracles and consciousness. And so my father was excited. My father's first wife had passed away. He
Okay.
says to the son-in-law, "Look, I believe in the power of intention and prayer, but I'm looking for a wife. And so please, please pray for me. Pray for me." The son-in-law says, "I will." He goes back to Japan. He goes on a tour. He announces on his lectures, "On these dates, this African miracle man is coming to Japan with our guru, Masaru Taniguchi, to go on a lecture tour. Buy your tickets." My mother grew up in this spiritual organization. Masaru Taniguchi was her guru, her teacher.
Okay.
And so her parents, this is their teacher. And so my mother grew up meditating in this tradition. My mother is 28 at the time. In Japan, if you're not married by 25, you're old. Your life is over. You're basically an old woman. And she's turned down many proposals because she didn't feel the connection. So she was losing hope, and she made a prayer. Her prayer to the universe, her prayer to God was, "God, I will marry anyone you tell me to marry. I don't care. I completely surrender my will totally. I will marry anyone. Just make it clear that
Wow.
this is my divine aligned partner. No limitations. I surrender." This was her prayer. She was in the audience when the son-in-law was talking about my father and the guru, Masaru Taniguchi, and the lecture dates. She says she felt a chill in her body. She says she felt the strange knowing that this was her husband. "This is your husband. This is your soulmate. This is your life partner." My mother chose to surrender and follow the calling. Now she speaks no English. So she writes a letter. Her sister translates. She sends a letter somehow to my father. My father is in London in transit for a few months before he goes to Japan. He's meditating. In his meditation, he gets this guidance: "Your wife will come to you tomorrow." "But I don't know anyone in the UK." How? He goes to the mailbox. An envelope shows up. It's from Japan. Before he opens the envelope, he says, "This is my wife." He opens the envelope. It's a letter from my mother, translated by her sister. "Nothing romantic, just to look forward to hearing you speak with Masaru Taniguchi. Good luck. I can't wait to hear your lecture." He said, "This is my wife." He writes a letter to my mother in Japan. They have no Facebook, no internet, no, they have not seen each other. Writes a letter and he says, Would you be open to moving to Ghana? It's kind of a proposal, right?
Yeah.
My mother writes back and she says, if it's God's will,
Oh,
I will
wow.
come. Talk about surrender.
Yes.
This is before I'm born. My father writes back and says, yeah, it's God's will, marry me. My mother says, I agree to marry you. Long story short, my father goes to Japan, meets with Masaru Taniguchi, goes on the lecture tour, meets my mother for the first time. They can't speak the same language.
Oh my
So the
gosh.
first, with chaperone, this old school. So the first time my dad points at him is like, kind of like, are you sure? Yeah. They basically shake hands, agree to get married, is like a divine surrender. And my father didn't have any money. By Japanese standards, didn't have enough money to, you can't, in the mid 70s, you can't throw down a wedding in Japan and not throw down a ceremony with some sushi and sake and a kimono, right? Especially as a foreigner and an African foreigner. And so he's praying in his meditation. God says to my father, everything is already done. It's under control. Just trust. He goes on the lecture tour 6 weeks with the guru. He's not being paid. He's just happy to be with the guru. After 6 weeks is up, he goes to his mailbox. He's supposed to get married, supposed to have a ceremony. Everything is moving forward for the preparation. He has no money. Goes to his mailbox. There is an envelope. He opens the envelope. No name. $7,000 in USD cash. All it said is a note. This is for your wedding.
Oh.
They got married. They left, went on a honeymoon, couldn't speak, and I was born. So
Oh.
this is how I came into the world. And so when I see, when I really decided to write this book, I reflected on my life and everything that happened. And I really see that it started with my parents. When my mother
Yes.
said, to me, surrender is when we take all the limitations off of life and we trust the infinite intelligence that is life itself, the source of all existence. And my father would often say to me, did you bring yourself here? Did you bring yourself to life? Did you make yourself come here? And I'll be like, Dad, no. And he would say to me, if you didn't make yourself come here, you didn't bring yourself here, do you not think that this divine intelligence that is the source of all existence, that is living and breathing you, is living and breathing me, is living and breathing all of us, do you not think it knows exactly what to do? And so when I think of that, I'm really reminded on the power of surrender. And so
Yeah.
we have this, just in a nutshell, we have this idea that surrender is, or this misconception that surrender is weak, surrender is passive, surrender is giving up,
Giving
surrender
up,
means
yes.
waving the white flag, surrender means you won't manifest your goals, dreams, and desires. And I'm actually saying, no, if you truly understand the essence of true, authentic, aligned surrender, what if you didn't get less, but you got more than you could have planned and intended and visualized with the limited mind, the limited personality, the limited ego consciousness? What if you got more? Maybe not what you thought, but what if it was better? What if it was beyond? What if it was bigger? What if it was more expansive? And so to me, that's the magic that is available when we truly learn how to surrender.
It's beautiful. And I love that you also opened the book by talking about your mother and her pr transition process,
Yes.
and how much in those days she taught you about the beauty of surrender. And even through her death, it sounds like she was the most surrendered, grace-filled being. Just sounds so lovely.
Yeah, my mother was really sp it's funny. My father was always the front person,
Right.
and building these churches and speaking and communicating. And I always grew up thinking he was sort of the enlightened one, and the mystically awakened one. But truly, in my mother's passing, I got to spend that year with her. And I would fly from LA to London literally every month for a week, for a year. And it started out as the worst year of my life,
Yes,
but it turned out to be the best year of my life because I got to just sit with my mom. And we would just talk, hold hands, and we would talk in chemo for like 8 hours about life, about nothing. The stuff that I didn't do since I was like 7 years old, and we got to just talk about nothing. The stuff that honestly I thought I was too busy to do because I was too busy saving the planet and inspiring people. But I don't have time to just sit with my mom, you know? And so I got to just be with her, and it was so simple, so ordinary. So like having a cup of tea with my mom, you know, taking a walk, feeding the ducks in the park, and I remember thinking to myself, why did I wait until she was dying? And I think, to be honest, the only regret I had in my life in that moment was not spending more time with my mom. And I think what I observed with my mom, and I do write about this in the book, and I'll definitely be sharing more April 26 at Mile High, but I remember when the doctors finally said to us, there's nothing else we can do. They looked my mother in the eyes and they said, there's nothing else we can do. You're going to die. So look, we don't know how long. Get your affairs in order. Could be, it's not going to be years, could be months if you're lucky, but it's coming. And I cried. Grown man, I wept, you know, because I realized I was not going to see my mom again. I was not going to get to hold my mother's hand again. I would not get to see my mom washing the dishes again. All the things I didn't appreciate, you know, I would not get to get a voice note from my mom again. My mother wouldn't meet her grandchildren and my kids. And it just broke my heart. And I looked my mother in the eyes and I asked her two things. The first thing I asked my mom was, are you afraid? And this little Japanese woman, she looked me in the eyes and she said, no, I'm not afraid. And she wasn't faking it. You know, she meant it. She looked me in the eyes, me and her. And she said, I'm not afraid. And I said, why? You're gonna die, Mom. And she said, I know that I'm not this body. This body is just a temporary vehicle for my soul. This body will die. This body for us all will expire. We will all die. But my soul is eternal. It is beyond birth. It is beyond death. And this consciousness that I am will continue. And I will be guiding you from the other side. So I know who I am. I'm not worried. And she was in such equanimity and peace. That's the moment I realized, holy moly, like, my mother is like an awakened being. You know, my mother is true. She's like a Buddha, a Buddha-S, right? She's truly awakened, and she never had to talk about it. She just lived it. She just
She just
embodied
was
it.
it.
You know, what's that quote? Is it from the Tao? Those that say don't know, those that you know that quote, those that say don't know, those that know don't have to say. She was just that. She just was it. And then I asked my mother, is there anything I can do for you in your final days? And this is really what inspired the book. This is, I think, what triggered the impetus to write about surrender and speak about surrender. There were seeds that were planted in this moment. I asked my mother, what can I do for you? What do you need? What do you want in your final days? I wanted to make up for feeling like I wasn't a good son. You know, and I said to her, where can I take you? What can I buy you? And my mother said, there's nothing I want and there's nothing that I need. I said, okay. She said, the only thing I want is what God wants for my life. And I realized in that moment that my mother was free. She wasn't attached to living. She wasn't attached to dying. She was surrendered, you know, in the she was surrendered to the highest good, the highest unfolding for her life. And many times we hold on to ideas and concepts of what we think we want. Oh, I want this and I want that. And we try to make it happen and manifest these things. And we get so attached to these things and we don't realize that in many ways we're limiting the infinite intelligence. And the infinite intelligence is not limited to our mind. And we're like, it's got to be this person. It's got to be this job. It's got to be this situation. And I saw that my mother, she was so surrendered. Her surrender was the highest good. And I think that part of the true element of surrender is when we invoke the highest good, which we're not able to see and know from the limitation of our personalities. And
Right.
so that's the magic of my mom and how she inspired me to surrender more.
Thank you very much. I loved reading the story and hearing you talk more about it today. And it sounds like if I were to say to you, what will people get by coming to be with
Oh,
you at
well,
this workshop?
well.
It'll be more of what you've already presented here. And is there anything more that you want people to know
We
today with?
look, when I speak, I just want to share something. I would sneak the part of, you have no idea. I'm so excited about Maha because I grew up reading all the New Thought teachings. I grew up studying Johnny Coleman, Reverend Ike, Ernest Holmes, Charles Fillmore. I'm as an 8-year-old kid, I went through Science of Mind teachings and Unity teachings and Catherine Ponder. I mean, these were Joseph Murphy, Joe Goldsmith. For me, as a 10-year-old kid, this was my life. It was my everything. And so when I heard about the invitation from Mile High, it's such a renowned New Thought mecca for me, that when I received the invitation, I'm like, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Because for me, as a young boy, I felt it was a soul invitation. I felt it was a soul calling. And as a young boy, I would sneak into my father's church in the middle of the night, and I would speak to the empty chairs,
Oh,
and I would give seminars to the empty chairs,
wow.
imagining, visualizing I was in America. Because all the self-help books I read were folks in America. Reverend
Sure.
Ike was in America, Catherine Ponder was in, Barbara King was in America. So
Yes.
visualize myself speaking to the empty chairs and thousands of people in America being inspired. And so for me, and I would do this for 8 years, 5 times a week, giving seminars. And so for me, it's a privilege to get to speak. It's a privilege to, you could say, come home to my roots. In a place like Mile High, New Thought, mecca for me, that I get to just share my appreciation for the New Thought teachings, to share some of my life experiences. And so when I speak, for me, I don't just like to give information. Yes, I'm going to be sharing about the magic of surrender. I'm going to be sharing about the different phases of surrender, because there's different stages of phases of surrender. I'm going to be sharing what it is, ego, what it is that actually blocks us from surrendering, and how to work with the mechanism of the ego that stops us from surrendering. So what it is and how to work with it. I'm going to take people through, I would say, a powerful little process that we can experientially move through certain internal resistances to let go, to surrender, and to truly heal. I'm going to create a process that we're going to go through that I think is really powerful, that I'm sort of downloading right now. It's going to be powerful, but more than anything, I don't just want this to be a night of information.
Yes.
Because we can read information, but I don't think information by itself is enough. I want this to be a profound spiritual energetic activation. And my intention for this sacred night, this intentional night, is that I'm going to invoke the intention now. My intention is that this night on April 26 is the most powerful transformational night of our lives. That whatever is in the way of the fulfillment of your destiny is cleared and removed. Whatever's in the way of your capacity to receive more abundance, more joy, more prosperity is cleared and removed. Whatever is in the way energetically from your ability to receive more love and grace and live in that state of grace is cleared and removed. That all levels of your being are transformed. And so for me, I want this night to be, yes, a night of profound teaching and information, which I promise I will give, but I want this night to be a soul activation that awakens your soul and inspires you to live surrender in every area of your life. And I promise you that Surrender is the real password to freedom, and we're going to delve deep into it.
Wonderful. I can feel it already. I can feel it. That intention you just set, it's already happening. I'm feeling it in me. And I think every person who's already purchased a ticket is already feeling it. And we invite anyone who's listening to join us on, again, Friday, April 26th, 7 p.m. in the Mile High Sanctuary. You can also purchase a ticket and watch online. We'll have an online component. And if you have the magic of surrender and want to bring it, Coot's going to be signing books after the event.
Yes.
Or you can purchase his book and he'll sign it for you then. So we invite you to be with us for this most magical, profound evening. Thank you so much, Coot, for being with us today. You are a blessing, and I'm so grateful for you, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Can't wait.